Hello and welcome to Talent Takes Time, a podcast where I speak with inspirational people about the struggles they've overcome to enjoy success in their careers. I'm Alison Bender, and to kick off this first series, I spoke with women in the media to hear their stories and understand their experiences. I heard from male colleagues who also wanted to reveal some of the difficulties they've faced. And for those of you who've listened to our recent bonus episode, I was put under the spotlight by my producer to give some of my own personal insight. Now, to officially close out series one of Talent Takes Time, we have a very special guest for this, our final bonus episode. Temi Fagbenle isn't a journalist, and she doesn't have a career in the media yet. But she's a hugely successful basketball player with a story that is as remarkable as it is unique. Born to Nigerian parents in Baltimore, Maryland, she grew up in London before returning to the US for high school and later attended the prestigious Harvard University. Temi has represented Great Britain in the Olympics and also played in the WNBA. She is a real inspiration to women, young and old, which is why we wanted to feature her in this special bonus episode of Talent Takes Time. Before I spoke with her about her career in academia and professional sports, I had to start with Temi's family life, as she grew up with 11, yes, 11 siblings. So I asked her if that produced plenty of rivalries in the Fagbenle household.
I've never heard that question before, and that is a good one to think about. But thinking back to that time, I mean, I never really wanted to stand out per se from my siblings. I've always wanted to just make a name for myself, you know, and just come into my own as a person. And I've always been a very competitive person just from a young age and just like had a drive to succeed for some reason. I truly don't know why. But all my family, or most of my family at least, is very competitive. So, you know, whether it's a Monopoly game or a basketball game or, you know, Pictionary, we're at it. And so, you know, I've had that from a very young age. And so I guess that would have played a part in my drive to succeed, you know, today.
And when you actually made the move to go back to the USA, I mean, that takes a lot of bravery from a young age to do that. Have you always been very independent? Did that scare you at all or excite you?
It was mostly exciting, absolutely. You know, and I'm very, very blessed to have, you know, been born in the USA, because at that time that gives you, you know, citizenship. And so it was a case of just when, you know, I was going to return per se, you know. I don't know, I remember like, going to school in London and just the monotony of life with basketball, school. And I just felt really, I don't know, stifled in a way. And just like felt like I just had this monotony of life that wasn't really going anywhere. And I felt that at 14 years old. And that's very strange to feel that at that kind of age. But I knew I just wanted to leave, you know, and get out and do something. And basketball presented that opportunity, and I just took it. You know, I just went with it. I'm happy to have had my parents, you know, support and my family support. And I just went. At first, you know, I had so much excitement and energy. Let's go, you know, I want to go. And then I got to, it was Blair Academy at first, as a high school in New Jersey in America. And my mom came with me, and, you know, she was there with me for the first week. And then after that week, she left, and it was just the reality set in. You know, it dawned on me, I'm alone here, you know. And I just burst into tears. I remember crying for like a week after, just like, wow, this is real. But obviously I got over that.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you know, it's really interesting hearing you say that at 14 years old. And some other of my guests have said similar things, where they felt they were destined for something special, something different. And it's not to say anything bad about your peers or any of your friends around you, but just having that feeling, perhaps burning inside you, that if you didn't do something about it, it would continue burning away. Did you feel that?
Absolutely, absolutely. It was definitely a burning feeling, like very uncomfortable, you know. And I'm just very, as I say, blessed to have had that outlet through basketball to be able to actually leave, you know, and do something and just kind of spread my wings.
Temi certainly did spread her wings. And in 2012, she represented Team GB at the London Olympic Games. She was the youngest player on Team GB, with the closest to her age some 3 years older. For perspective, Temi was still studying at university, juggling a Harvard education with the pressures of representing her country at the world's biggest sporting event and on home soil.
I was 19 years old, the youngest on the team at the time, and for me it was just like a dream come true, really, you know? I mean, I never, it's so funny, like when I made the WNBA, when they made, you know, I went to America, all these fantastic, amazing accomplishments had never been dreams per se for me. I've always had goals, you know, like I will make it to the WNBA one day. I will make it to this place one day. You know, I will do this one day. But it's never been like consumed me as a dream. And so, you know, when I made it into the Olympics, it was just like, wow, like this is just an amazing accomplishment, and I'm so proud, and I'm just so happy to be here, you know, and obviously blessed. I always say that word blessed because I feel it always.
Do you often think when moments like that happen about all those hard things? I know that you had a chronic knee problem when you were very young that almost made you give up entirely. Talk to me about those moments and how you pulled yourself through it.
For as long as I can remember, I've had this knee issue, patella tendinopathy, it's called, and so I've had that since pretty much ever since I started basketball. And so you can imagine this debilitating pain, and it grew worse over the years. You know, I could manage it a lot of the time when I was younger and more spry and, you know, agile and all of that. I had so much energy. But when I got to my later college years, it just became such a big problem that I'd never thought, you know, I would be able to make it to the next step of going pro. It was that hard. I would miss out practices sometimes, you know, because I just couldn't. I couldn't walk from one end of campus to the other without hobbling, without feeling excruciating pain. Why, you know, if I couldn't walk, how can I run on the court? It just didn't make sense. And so I would miss practices, you know, I would just be focused on the game. I wouldn't do any of the sprints sometimes just because I was in pain. It was just a big mess, and it would really affect my mental health as well, right? And I would associate basketball with pain. And because of this, I had the biggest love-hate relationship with basketball. I mostly hate, I would say, because of this pain. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed the sport and loved it for what I could do and everything, I always associated it with not being able to move well, not being, you know, being in pain. And it just thinking back to it is bringing all these emotions up, because it was such a hard time in my life that I just didn't think I could overcome it. And so truly, in my last year, I was just like, okay, well, you know, it's been great. It's been a great run. I don't think I'm going to, you know, move on to pro ball. But through divine intervention, it seems, I was introduced to this amazing trainer, and he just helped me get from 0 to 100. And it's just in 3 months as well. We worked on my body for 3 months every day, and it was just oh my gosh, I can't even explain it. I have no knee pain today is basically what I'm trying to say.
That's miraculous. I love hearing you saying you had this kind of love-hate relationship, because you had this gift, but it was causing you such pain. But I read on your social media, and you said a very powerful statement. You didn't always have love for it, but you had respect for it. Talk to me a bit about that.
I truly feel like it's this like lifelong relationship. I'm going through with this sport, with this entity. And so I say I respect it because I respect how much it's given to me, how much it's afforded me, how many opportunities it's opened, you know, the doors for me. And as I said it before, it has been a passport for me. I've been to so many countries through basketball alone.
For those on the outside looking in, it would have seemed Temi's college career was all fun and games. There she was, attending one of the world's most famous institutions in Harvard, the school where Facebook was formed, no less, and playing basketball. But as we've heard from all those we've spoken to on Talent Takes Time, the reality is so different. Temi had to graft at Harvard. It was anything but plain sailing for a student athlete, and it meant she didn't quite enjoy it at first.
Oh, for the first year, no, definitely not. in fact, I was on academic probation, and that's the first time I've said this. I've admitted it. You know, I've gotten over it. That's why I can now say it, because woo, that first year was just the whole, again, another transition period, another kind of period where I needed to acclimate to the different culture, a different situation.
You're clearly an overachiever as well, so it probably hit even harder, right?
I believe I suffered from depression in at Harvard, absolutely, and I'm sure many other people do and did. And it's such a, you know, dog eat dog world out there. Everyone is out for their themselves, and it was funny to me because it's like, I didn't even know who I could turn to for help, because it's just like so laser focused. Everyone wants just to get that A from themselves. They don't want to help anybody else. And it's like, whoa.
I'm just curious, what's more cutthroat? Is it that academia side, or is it the sports side? Because that's also pretty cutthroat, right? Everyone's out for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, but when you're in a team, it's, you know, it's a bit different, isn't it? So the academic side, I was alone, you know, I had to kind of figure out myself. Thankfully, I had resources through my team and through the school to get me a peer tutor or, you know, an academic help. And so I was able to better myself and improve that way. But on my team, it's a sport. So it's a team sport. So we have kind of like everyone is in it. We're all in it together, you know. Yeah, so it was definitely hard to juggle both, but at the end of the day, it gets done. People have done it for how many years now, and so you just find a way to take it day by day, moment by moment, and just get it done. It really is simple. Just find a way to get it done. Whether it's pulling an all-nighter, I pulled many an all-nighter. That's when you work through the night and basically have no sleep the next day, or just working your hardest, that you know, working the hardest you've ever done.
I'm curious, Temi, who you're doing this all for, because you clearly put a lot of pressure on yourself. And I get it, I do this too. And people often say to me, is it your parents putting pressure on you? And weirdly, for me, it was never anyone. My parents were laid back, but I put this pressure on myself. Is it the same for you, or was there someone you were doing it for?
That's so funny. No, it's definitely the same for me. It's just, I learned from a very early age, if you're going to do something, why half-ass it? And really, that's just been my motto throughout my life. Like, what am I doing? Like, if I'm going to choose to do this, I chose to participate in this sport. I chose to come to this school. Why would I half-ass it, you know? Like, it just doesn't make just doesn't make sense to me. And you only have this one life. Why don't you do everything you choose to do to the best of your ability?
Away from the court, Temi is using her profile to good use and has recently partnered with the UN's Women's Programme. The United Nations Entity for Gender Equality and the Empowerment of Women, to give it its full name, has been in existence for just over a decade with the mission to empower women across the world. Temi is using all 6'4" of her presence to help play a part in that.
So thankful for this partnership. It's a recent partnership, and I'm excited for what could be, you know, we can do in the future. So it's at this early stages now, but I'm so very blessed to be teamed up with such a great and big kind of organization as UN Women is. And so I'm excited for what the future holds with that, for sure. It embodies everything I, you know, I'm about. So it's all about girl and woman empowerment, and that's what I'm here for.
It is hard when you're young. I remember being very paranoid about really small things when I was young.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're 14, 15, even younger than that, what can you tell to young girls listening to you who are feeling insecure about something visual, something about the way they look? How did you get that confidence to embrace? Because you were different. You were 6'4". That would have really stood out. How did you find that inner confidence somehow?
Right. No, I'm just thinking of like what girls have to go through nowadays, because there's TikTok, this Snapchat, there's Instagram, there's all these things, and it's like, oh my gosh, I need to do that too. I need to, you know, do this viral thing that everybody's, no. Oh, it's a hard one, because this is a new, we've never been in this kind of age. But what I would say to any young girl that's struggling with this is kind of look into yourself. Try and look into yourself first. And as I said earlier, understand that if people make fun of you, don't like you for superficial things such as the way your face looks or anything on the outside, you do not need them in your life. I'm just, and it's hard to say that and, you know, understand that as a young person, because you just really want to make friends and, you know, what you want to do. But make the right friends. Make the friends that love you for who you are inside, you know, love you for how you bring life to their life, or, you know, how smart you are, or how, you know, fun you are. It's not about the outside, it's about the inside. So I hope you can find a way to understand that and kind of move forward with that.
I find it really interesting. You're still so young, and yet already you started to give back. You're giving back to young people in terms of inspiring. I know the community work you're doing with Project Swish, you know, working on outdoor court renovations. Is that, again, are you simply a serial overachiever? You have to be doing something extra. You don't seem to be content just with one thing. Or do you feel you owe the sport something?
Oh, that's fantastic. No, for sure. No, for sure. I do. I've always felt like I needed to, not needed. I've always just wanted to do more. You know, I've always wanted to do things I'm interested in, you know, and for sure, as you said, like giving back to the sport is, it's another kind of way I'm thinking now. Now I'm in this, you know, I'm 28 now, and I look back at what I've done, and it's just like, wow, I again, respect basketball so much, and I'm so thankful for what I've been able to do. How can I now give back, you know, to the sport? And to the young people who want to do the same things I did and more. So for sure, it's a bit of both. Definitely in the past, more of, I want to do everything. I, you know, what can I do here and there? But now, as I mature, it's, okay, now, how can I give back and let other people experience this?
We've reached the stage of Talent Takes Time, where I ask my guests to sign off with some advice for our listeners. As you would have heard, Temi is such an inspirational voice. She's travelled the world to achieve her goals, leaving her family at a young age to realise her sporting potential, and risked everything, working hard and remaining committed to success. In her own words, she hasn't half-assed it. So with that, I'll leave Temi to offer her words of motivation.
Consistency, man, right? Like, give it, if you have a dream, it's so important for you to give it your all. It's so important because it's not going to come true otherwise. You can't half-ass a dream. You have to give your all into it and be consistent with it. Understand that you may have your down days. That's fine. That's okay. But get right back up and continue at that dream. Keep chipping. Keep chipping. Keep working. And it's the same rhetoric, you know, yeah, keep working, keep working, you know, I get it. But it's true. This is the only way. This is the only way to achieve what you want to do. Dreams don't just fall, you know, rarely fall into your hands just like that. And I had to learn that. Many of the time I was like, I'm talented. Why can't people, you know, see what I can do? You know, come pick me up or whatever. No. How many billions of people are in the world? Darling, you got to go out and figure it out yourself and show people why they need to pay attention to you.
Talent Takes Time is presented by me, Alison Bender. The series producer is Gary Hayes, and Matt Alabaster has produced all our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. If you'd like to know more about my career in the media, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter and TikTok at AliBenderTV. You can also sign up to my website, alisonbender.com, for more information on getting into the media industry. This has been a production for the Highway 61 Network.